Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Is right. Happy Thursday morning, everybody. Hey. Out there is getting off to a fantastic start.
Absolutely, fantastic it is, Travis.
Absolutely right, Key. The schedule comes out tonight.
I know it does, but prior to the schedule even coming out, and you're speaking of a night, last night, you know, one of the things that I forgot to mention to you is what I had to do. You know, one thing about this pandemic that I hate outside of being locked in and losing lives is the fact that I don't have any help in my home as far as assistant goes to clean and do things. So I have to spray and clean and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, remember a couple of weeks ago I went and bought the industrial mop from Home Depot with the big yellow bucket and the ones
they have in the schools and office
the
buildings?
Ones that you have in the schools and the buildings, the office buildings. I got one for my house.
Housekeeper ain't coming by?
And so I don't have any assistant, you know, nobody here helping me do any of this sort of stuff. So I boil my big giant pot of water and I pour it in. I get it steamy and hot, and I got the Fabuloso. I think that's what you call it.
Fabuloso.
And I got the purple one, and it's like a pine saw type thing, and it really cleans deep and it smells good. But you're talking about somebody damn back hurting. Man, that mop, when you put that water in that mop, that big old mop, you know, just slopping all around, that big mop got my back hurt, man. I'm like,
look, I need you to do something for me. You send us a cooking video, I would say 3 or 4 days a week. I'm going to need a mopping video. I need to see you on your hands and knees with the mop just going to town in the Johnson household cleaning up the kitchen. I need to see
man,
that.
I have the sweeper, the sweep. I really use the regular broom. I don't use the dustpan anymore. I had a dustpan up to a couple weeks ago. I finally bought a mini vacuum, the handheld one. That thing worked perfect. So I put all I put it all in one pile, just like that. Done. So I feel, you know, so people that gotta deal with these mops on a daily basis, I feel for them.
It's hard work, man. It is.
Man, it's hard work. You talking about sweating and everything? Y'all think I'm playing?
Listen, I'm very, very blessed that my mom not only just still lives with us, but that she enjoys doing that kind of work, because I enjoy letting her do that kind of work.
Yeah.
It's not my bag. Like, I cook. I will cook. I will go to the store. I'll put on my mask. I'll do all the shopping. I'll cook. I'll make sure the family is fed. I hate doing laundry. And I hate cleaning the house.
Well, I cook and I clean.
I do half. I'll do the cook. I basically taught myself how to cook for two reasons. Number one, I like to eat. And number two, I hate to clean up. So I figured if I make it, somebody else has got to clean it up. That was at least 50% of the reason.
Yeah, I tried that in dishes. You know, it doesn't work. So I
just stack up
at the same time. No, I clean the cook at the same time.
All right, the NFL schedule comes out tonight. There's a show on ESPN, 5 o'clock, that is going to be on. They're going to reveal the entire NFL schedule. We'll know who has some primetime games. And, you know, last year, the Rams had 5 primetime games. We'll see what they have tonight. But also, Vegas has some odds out on the top 10 Super Bowl matchup odds. And what you would expect to see is true. The Chiefs are all over this thing. Of the 10 teams, or the 10 matchups, I should say, because these are specific matchups between the teams, the Chiefs are in 3, 4, 5, 6 of the 10 matchups from the AFC. The Ravens are the only other team that shows up in the top 10 as far as odds go. So they're looking at the AFC right now, guys, as a two-horse race between Kansas City and Baltimore. Nobody else.
Yeah, and that's okay. I mean, when you look at it, Kansas City is reigning Super Bowl champion. Baltimore was there in the end. New England loses their quarterback. You don't know what Buffalo is. The Pittsburgh Steelers are getting Ben Roethlisberger back. The Raiders are retooling their
team. What about Houston, though?
They're still young. Hold on, I was going to get there. The Houston Texans don't have DeAndre Hopkins, and their coach act like at times he doesn't even deserve to be a head coach, let alone a general manager. So as you break down the AFC, these are the two teams that stand out front. Now, be careful what you wish for. Now, at the end of the day, I have I have it all respect in Kansas City and believe they're going to be there in the end and know that Coach Reed can get it done. I'm not so sure about Baltimore and the reigning MVP champion in Lamar Jackson. The video game football is cute and all. It's great. I love it. He completed some nice balls against the Rams that made us go, okay, he could throw the football. But there's certain things that he has to overcome. And I don't know if the defense is going to be as strong as it was a year ago. There's certain aspects of that team that makes you scratch your head. And I look at that and say, okay, you know, what's going to happen when Pittsburgh gets back to form? Is Baltimore going to be bully on the block? Because the Pittsburgh game came down to some wires for them.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those games came down to, you know, was like, whoa, edge of your seat. A few plays here or there, Pittsburgh win those games, running away, and now all of a sudden the division looks different. So I'm not so sure on Baltimore. I'm real bullish on Kansas City, but not so much on Baltimore.
So look at the NFC side. And it, like we said, there's two teams in the AFC, and the Chiefs are all over it. There's six times. The Ravens fill in the other four. In the NFC, there's six different teams. The Saints show up a couple of times. They're actually the favorite. The Saints and the Chiefs is the most likely Super Bowl matchup as we sit here right now. But the 49ers are right behind them. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are third against the Chiefs at plus 2,800, actually tied with the Niners at 2,800. You've got the Niners in there. You got the Cowboys, Eagles, and Seahawks all in there. The Rams nowhere to be found.
Well, I don't think the Rams are going to be found. I told you that before we left the building to come home to do our show, that the Rams were probably going to take a step back from their win total of a year ago. When you look at it, the New Orleans Saints have questions at the head coaching spot. I know we talk about Drew Brees. I know we love Sean Payton. But Sean Payton is a guy who's lost three straight playoff games at the end of games. Not all his fault, but over the course of the game, some of those things are questionable about the way that he's coaching and putting them in positions to lose those games. The San Francisco 49ers, same thing. Shanahan took him to the Super Bowl, but sometimes his coaching and decision-making is questionable. They obviously did a good job by going out and getting a receiver from ASU, the defensive end, defensive tackle, and Javon Kinlaw. I want to call him Jadavion, but Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina in the first round to replace Buckner. So when you look at those two teams, then you talk about Seattle. Seattle is on the verge of losing Jadavion Clowney, but they went out and drafted a number of defensive ends to replace him. Russell Wilson is still there. They get back some healthy running backs. So they'll be in the mix there. You can't forget about teams that you never thought about. You can't forget about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Just because they didn't address most of our thoughts and needs for him, which would be the wide receiver position, we don't know the way they feel about the receiving cast of characters that they have. They went to
Packers
the
not in the top 10 either,
game.
Keith. They're not
that's
there.
What I'm saying. You can't forget about them. Dallas Cowboys, I like that. I like the Dallas Cowboys. They got a different coach. The Cowboys, I think, in my opinion, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, I think they were hindered by their coaching staff, by the style in which Jason Garrett approached things, because they certainly have the talent. There's no question
calm down,
about
Raj.
It. Question about it that they have the talent. And I think that it comes down to a guy like Mike McCarthy and Nolan, the defensive coordinator, being able to put game plans together to execute against a team like the New York Giants that has nothing, the Washington Redskins that have nothing, the Philadelphia Eagles,
I see nothing,
suspect.
I see nothing but the Toronto Raptors of the NFL. I see a team that people are looking at and think because of the offseason changes that they're just going to completely fall to pieces, and Sean McVay is going to be the Nick Nurse. He's going to show you that he didn't build a winning season. He's built a winning franchise, and he's going to surprise some people. I hear what you're saying when you see the talent drain, and I know the ebb and flows in NFL, but this is a great opportunity now for Sean McVay to come in and show that he was deserving of all the credit he initially got for the success that the Rams experienced when he first got there.
That's Sean
what
McVay.
Vegas is saying.
Well, I want to focus in on something that Vegas is saying. Plus 2,800, Bucks Chiefs. Plus 3,000, Bucks Ravens. The Bucks show up on this twice. They did not make a ton of changes with the one very obvious exception of a quarterback. Am I reading this right, Key? And I'm not just trying to troll you by saying this. Is Vegas telling us that the only thing holding Tampa back was the quarterback? That now that they have a steady guy there at that position, that not only are they a lot better, but they're number two on this list to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC. Number two.
Peter Pan. If you listen to anything that I ever say on our show, I told you that 30 interceptions is not going to help you win the games that you need to win. I remember I said if you cut those in half, because Godwin said that majority, not a majority, but some of those were their fault along with other players. So you cut that in half at 15, and then you cut it in half again at 7, because that's what pretty much that's what Brady can give you, plus or minus, right? 7, 6, 5. He gonna hover around that number. He ain't gonna give you too many. They add Gronkowski, which I really don't know what that is. I mean, yeah. I understand what it was, but I don't know what it is today. You're going to get a couple of wins from reducing the turnover margin. There's no question about it. But to think that they're all of a sudden going to be the second team out of the NFC, that's a little bit much to just go on, considering that you haven't had an opportunity to be together. You probably won't have an opportunity to be together until August. That's just that's a lot to deal with a new quarterback coming in. It's not a new receiver. It's not a new left tackle. It's not a new defense.
Not a new coach.
It's not. It's a new quarterback and a new system. Even though Brady may implement some things in that he liked, but guess what? Byron Leftwich has to call the plays and get comfortable with what Brady likes and know when to call those things. So it's a lot of moving pieces that go. I'm not saying that they can't compete, but as far as being the team in the NFC championship game at the end of the day with the New Orleans Saints, I don't see that happening.
Let me ask you this, Captain Hook. The 49ers, could they pull?
See, that doesn't ring well.
I want a name, but it better not be Tinkerbell. Yeah.
I don't. LZ, I do not cross those lines with you.
Yo.
You know that. I don't play those games with you. I don't know.
The 49ers, Key. The 49ers. Could they do what the Rams did a year ago, which is you find yourself in the Super Bowl and then all of a sudden you turn around and you're not even in the playoffs?
No, I don't think that's going to happen with this particular team. And the reason that I say this is because there's a championship winning general manager that has a formula that spells success. If you look at what they did, they lose Sanders, they draft a receiver that's going to give you basically the same thing. They lose Buckner, they draft Kinlaw, which basically gives you the same thing. They are addressing their needs to the degree where you sit back and you go, okay, they're all they doing is plugging guys in spots that they remove themselves from, where the Rams built up to make the run. The 49ers are building up to make several runs. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
This is a big difference. The Rams decided, okay, we're gonna load the kitchen cabinet and go.
They went all in
where the 49ers said, okay, we're not necessarily going all in.
It makes perfect sense, Key, but we see it a lot. And with the exception being the New England Patriots, typically when you lose the Super Bowl, stuff comes unglued. It doesn't – when you come back that next season, and really for a few seasons afterwards, you look at the Philadelphia Eagles.
No, you're right about it, but I don't sense it with this particular team. This makeup of their team, I just don't sense it because of the John Lynch's getting it right. I mean, just think about it. For all the criticism that he got from pretty much everybody by getting the job relatively untouched, unknown, not knowing anything, when he hired Mark Mayhew to become his assistant, his lieutenant, he got that right. Ever since then, seems like he's been getting it right. He even got it right with Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. To a degree. I mean, they got it right.
They're young, too. They've got young guys in the right spots. All right. We know the NFL.
The Rams are the third team in the division. It's okay.
Well, they can still get in. They got seven teams, too. So, look, they got a third-place schedule. There's a whole lot of reasons to be bullish on the Rams. We'll get the schedule coming up a little bit later today. Hopefully, we get a couple of leaks before later tonight so we can get into that. USC seems to have figured one part of their football program out. We'll get into that next on The Morning Show, 710 ESPN. There have been a variety of reasons, Key, as to why USC has struggled the last couple of seasons on the field when it comes to college football, and you've laid them all out. That number one, they're not developing players. Number two, they're not really getting the right guys, because we look at some of the recruiting classes that they've seen. They were 54th last season. The good news is they seem to have at least fixed one of the problems that so far, and again, it's very early in the 2021 cycle, they're ranked 11th in the recruiting class. They've signed five top 300 prospects. They're on the right track when at least it comes to recruiting. Does this fix all of it, or do they still have the much larger problem where, yeah, you can bring in the right guys, but unless you're making them better players, we're still in the same spot?
You mean committed players? They haven't signed them. They've committed.
So committed,
at the end of the day, what is it? Tyson Young? What was the quarterback for modern day? Tyson Young?
I'd have to look it up.
Young that went to Alabama. He was committed to USC too. And at the end of the day, guess what Alabama said? Now, you don't want to do that. Come on over to us. So
until, Bryce Young.
Until the ink dries and they send it through the fax machine, I don't want to hear anything about their ranking. It's cool that they're ranked 11th and they're showing progress and trying to get things turned around. It's a start committing, getting guys to commit, but you got to finish the deal and you got to close. Now, one of the main ingredients for me, which is a plus, is they went out and got Oregon's defensive cutback coach Dante Williams to come and basically be the head recruiter at the university. Is a good thing because he has some connections in Southern California and in the California landscape, and he does a good job of recruiting. I don't particularly like the way that he left Oregon, but it's a benefit to USC, so he does a good job at putting things together with players. That's a good thing. Now, can you coach those players up? Last year was really the only class in a long list of classes that USC has failed at getting top prospects. Mm-hmm. And so if you go back and you look at some of Clay Helton's recruiting classes or even Sarkisian's or Lane Kiffin's recruiting classes, it's all about the development of those players. It's the development of Nelson Aguilar to get him to be a first-round pick. It's the development of guys so they can get drafted high. It ain't just about getting players that are stars because they've always had four and five stars. Can I develop those four? And can I develop a Dory Jackson to be a first-round pick? Or do I get a Dory Jackson and he doesn't become a first-round pick? Do I get a Kevon Seymour who's underdeveloped and he becomes a fifth, sixth-round pick? Can I get these type of guys and develop them to become first-round picks? Or do I get four- and five-star guys and they don't develop, and so now people say, well, I picked the wrong guy. No, you didn't pick the wrong guy. You picked the right guy, but you didn't develop him. It's all about developing.
I couldn't agree more. This is the problem that I had, and I know that you don't like what I'm about to say, Key, with this guy in particular because you don't think he's a great fit at SC, but you look at Kyle Whittingham at Utah, and he's getting 2- and 3-star guys, and he's putting dudes in the NFL.
Man, they had about 10 dudes going to draft.
Exactly right. And he's putting dudes in the NFL.
But here's what I was saying.
Hold on. Let me finish. That you and I are in agreement here, too, that SC's going to get players. They're always going to get players because they're USC. So if you get the players at SC, just based on no other reason than it's USC, and then you put a coach like Kyle Whittingham who knows how to develop these guys, look the hell out. Because the kids, the players, they're still coming. You've said it 1,000 times. Alabama wants these guys. Clemson wants these guys. Ohio State wants these guys. We saw the entire LSU offense got drafted, all of them. They got drafted, and USC had two players on the whole team taken. It's the development piece. You got to get the players, which it appears that they're on the right track there. But if you don't develop them the way that a guy like Kyle Whittingham does it at Utah, who's getting low-star guys and putting them in the NFL, it doesn't matter who's coming through the door.
But here's what I would say about that. I know we give Kyle Whittingham the kudos and the head coach, but it's not the head coach that's developing them. It's the assistant coaches. Sharif Shaw is the defensive back coach from Utah. Since Sharif Shaw has been a defensive back coach from Utah, which hands down to me is probably the best defensive back coach in all of the Pac-12 conference, period. Mm. Both on the recruiting circuit as well as in the coaching circuit. If we had the time to dig through and look at all of the players that since he's been the defensive back coach, which has been at least a decade now, look at all them dudes that's been drafted out of Utah in the second.
Doesn't Whittingham get credit for that?
No, he does. No, I'm not taking credit away from that. He does, but you got to pick the right assistant coaches to be able to develop those players. If you look at the running back coach from Utah, the running back from Utah is one of the best running back coaches in the country. His guys get drafted. They play at the next level. That's important. You look at the defensive line coaches that they have at Utah. They develop them big dudes. They get them developed. And so with that being said, it goes back to your assistant coaches that you have on staff to be able to work with those players, the strength and conditioning coach, to be able to work with those players to get the best out of them, to develop them. Now, you can get them. You know what I'm saying? You can get them. If John Robinson had me, if John Robinson and Mike Riley didn't develop me, I wouldn't have been a pro. If I'd have gone to Mississippi State with Jackie Sherrill, I wouldn't be on ESPN radio. I promise you that. At least not in California. Mm-hmm. So you got to understand how to develop somebody. And when you go back and you look at the Pete Carroll coaches and their staff, they developed those players. You look at John Robinson's players, they developed them. Even to a degree, Lane Kiffin, for the short stint that he was here, he developed guys enough to where they could take those habits and carry them to the next staff and get themselves drafted and put themselves in draft position. So that is, you know, you got guys that, how many dudes, you look at Lane Kiffin at FAU, how many dudes have been drafted out from FAU and got NFL shots when he went down there?
That's why when you see the recruiting list and that they're at 11 right here, and I understand that there's a whole bunch of asterisk that go along with it, but even if all the commits turn out to be actual signings, it's less than half the equation, because unless they get a lot better while they're here, they're not going to win. And it's the same situation over and over and over again.
Man, I hope they get better, and I hope they win, because if they do, I want to be wrong. I want to be laughed at, and I want to be wrong. I want to be I told you so. I can't wait for them to send me a letter and say, see, I told you so. I can't wait. That means they're doing everything right. Opposed to me in October talking about, damn, man, who's going to be the coach? Is Urban – we rethinking Urban Meyer? I mean, I don't want to have that conversation.
We're going to. I mean, we're going to. We can be as hopeful as we want, as optimistic as we want. The data's in. The data points are in. The we saw the draft. We saw what just happened. The development's not there. The players are, but if the development's not there – good luck.
And they've got a number of guys. They got about 6 to 7 potential draft picks on this year's roster that should come out of school, whether it's Tyler Vaughn, whether it's St. Brown, whether it's Stephen Carr, a couple of defensive linemen. So they got about 7 or so players that have an opportunity to be drafted and drafted high. Let's see if it happens, if it comes to fruition.
Let me just ask you guys this very quickly. What do you think the response would be in Baton Rouge, in Tuscaloosa, in Columbus, in Columbia, South Carolina, if Clemson, Ohio State, LSU, or Alabama had 2 players drafted? What do you think that would go like?
It would wouldn't be good.
It's been a long time. Put it this way. It's been a long time since that's happened, so I couldn't tell you.
Exactly.
Was it 98 when SC sent one guy to the draft? And didn't they fire – and make a coaching change right after that? I want to say it was 98 when they only had one player drafted and there was a coaching change soon thereafter.
Well, we had 2 this year.
Yeah, well, that's twice as good. 100% improvement. All right. So we know that Reggie dropped 8 points in 9 seconds on this day back in 1995. This is a busy day in sports history, and arguably one of the greatest cuts, sound bites in sports history happened. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
So this day, May 7th in 1995, as we mentioned, is the day that Reggie Miller dropped 8 points in nine seconds to beat the Knicks, and of course had the classic hands around the throat gesture directed at Spike Lee in the Garden. That was not the only thing that happened on May 7th. Back in May 7th, 1989, we've talked about this, gosh, for what? We're going on better part of a month now. Michael Jordan hit that jumper over Craig Elo on this day in 89. That would make for a pretty good double. How about this for a hat trick of events on May 7th? Way back in 2002, this happened.
When you just talk about practice, we sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. not a game. We're talking about practice.
Man, AI, Bubba Chuck, 100% right, man. We're sitting here, we talking about practice. I'm supposed to be the franchise player. I'm that dude. I'm the one with the answers and the questions. And we talking about practice? Man, please, man, because I'm going to give you 39 and 12. I want to hear that. Get out of here.
That you're on Allen Iverson's side in that is the least surprising thing in the history of my broadcasting career.
Yeah, he's not the only one, though. I'm on his side, too.
Man,
I'm on Iverson's side, too. Because here's the deal. They had been going at AI, and he was late to practice, and Larry Brown, and they had been bumping heads, and Larry Brown said some stuff that was off to Iverson, and he was already mad going into that situation because he was butting head with his coach, and they had just got bounced from the playoffs after getting to the finals the year before and losing against the Lakers 4-1. But when you think about what he said after that, now that's the part they never play. After he talks about practice, this is what he says. I'm upset for one reason, because I'm in here. I lost. I lost my best friend. I lost him, and I lost this year. Everything is just going downhill for me as far as just that, you know, as far as my life. And then I'm dealing with this. My best friend is dead, and we lost. And this is what I have to go through for the rest of the summer until the season is all over again. So he's letting you know that, yeah, he was upset about, you know, somebody getting at him about missing practice, which is the part that we like. But after saying that, he lets you know he just lost his best friend, and he's upset that they got bounced in the postseason. So it's like it was all that stuff coming in on him. The practice rant is hilarious in a bubble, but outside of that, you're like going, okay, I understand where AI was coming from.
But they ain't going to never play that part, though, because that ain't the juicy meat. But even if it wasn't the situation where he lost his boy, it's practice, man. Y'all need to calm down.
We talking about practice.
Yeah, you.
I like the pause.
It's true, though. You're talking about practice, man. Like I'm going to give you that work anyway. I'm not running up and down no court doing all that. I'm going to still give you that work.
Well, that's what makes it so great, is because it is entirely 100% genuine. There is no pretense there. He's telling you what he truly believes and feels in every single syllable of that sound.
And at that time in his career, was he not giving you that work to do?
No one in the history of the world has ever said anything about Allen Iverson not playing his guts out. I mean, the dude went out there and killed himself.
So even if you say those that are listening to me right now and putting me on that list as number 17, even if you was to say, well, if he would practice more, better, and harder, they could have won a championship, stop. Don't even go there. Just stop that. Because Travis, there are people listening right now saying, well, if he'd have practiced more, he would have did this. They'd have rallied. Man, stop.
Practice. That's just like Susan yelling at you, and you look at her going, you talking about taking the trash out. I put in that work. You talk about the trash. I pay the bills. I provide. And you talk about take the trash out.
Yeah, that would probably be a fair criticism of me at that point. So I don't know if that's a great example. But I love it because there really is just so many different parts to it. But the best part is that he's not ranting like he's out of his mind, angry. And I understand the context of what you're talking about, that he was obviously terribly distraught about the loss of somebody that he cared about. But it's just, you people don't understand what I'm telling you. Do you not watch what I do when I go out there? And you're talking about me going out there and taking some practice? The incredulity in his voice, the fact that he's just so frustrated that they don't get what he brings to the team, makes it art.
But they get it. It's
so wonderful.
But they get it, but they want to sear you. Coach Larry Brown wants to sear him as much as he can because there's a relationship issue that's there. And that relationship issue is such that AI had to eventually come up out of Philly. And that's how coaches do. They do little leak stuff to the press, say little things, little sidewinder little things to tick you off because they know you're going to react to it, to try to make you look like the bad guy. But in my opinion, AI won in the end anyway.
Well, it's funny because that, what did we say? 02. So we're talking about 19 years later, right? 19 years. And that bite has had an absolute unbelievable lifetime, because at the time it was looked at as up. Oh, there goes Iverson doing his thing. That's why he's a problem. And now 20 years later, it's, you know what? He was right. And I think, because Key, I know that you felt that way in the moment, but it took the rest of us a long time to get around to, you know what? He's kind of right. He kind of makes some really good points.
Man, because he's not missing practice daily. They didn't have to go get him out of the hotel bed. It wasn't one of those situations. If it was one of those situations where AI is just, where's AI, man? AI is, man, LZ, go get AI. Man, where is he at? Man, I think we got to drive down to Florida and get him. It ain't that. The dude came late to a damn practice.
We talking about practice.
Ooh, that pause, though. That pause, though. Woo! That sends chills up my spine.
It's crazy because, but also, this is at a time where professional sports really wasn't used to having guys like us. Guys that was going to clap back. They couldn't figure out how to do it. You know, do I attack them personally? Do I attack their, well, I can't really attack their ability because they damn good. They awful good. Yeah. Well, how can we go at him? Oh, we can go at him because he missed practice. We can make the missing practice into the biggest thing ever. Or we could take it and he yelled at the coach on the sideline. We could make it the biggest thing ever.
It ain't the first and it ain't going to be the last. It's the ultimate Trump in that if you're playing well, there's really nothing anybody can say. And Allen Iverson was playing at a high level. You played at a high level. Anybody that would get labeled, and I'm not saying that would get labeled as a problem because of the clapback, like you said, as long as you're playing well, it didn't matter.
No, but even though it didn't matter, they still try to create a problem with who that person was. I lived it personally. Okay, I got hate mail ridiculously. Don't ever talk to a white man like that on television. I dare you. Man, I got some of the craziest stuff. We're going to do this. I used to just laugh at the stuff. Wasn't even worried about it, you know, or have commentators on television talk mess and don't even know what's really going on behind the scenes.
Not me, Key. I didn't do that.
Well, yeah, I know you did, because you fell right in line right with the rest of them tramps.
Tramps.
Like,
too aggressive.
Well, I'm trying to figure out if that's an insult or not.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it is.
I don't think so either.
Cool. Yeah, it's not bad. Take It or Shake It is coming up next. All right, let's start with an NBA topic right here. The NBA is going to do a conference call for all of its players, along with Commissioner Adam Silver, along with the president of the Players Association, Michelle Roberts. And they're going to go through what they're going to go through about getting ready for this season. Let's take a listen to Frank Vogel and what he thinks might happen coming up shortly.
There's a competitive balance element to this that I personally am not really all that concerned about. You know, I think we're still a long way away from returning to play. You know, I think it's just part of, you know, part of this situation is that, you know, certain markets it's safer than others to do so. And it's not really anything we can control, and I don't really have much anxiety about it. When it's safe and appropriate for us to get back in our building, we'll do so at that time, and I'm okay with that.
The Lakers will be at a competitive disadvantage if they have to wait to get back into their building. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it.
What you don't believe?
Look, first of all, he's right about a long way away. You're not going to play next week. So a long way away could be 3 weeks away in sports, you know. So he's right as far as that goes. They're not going to let people in buildings, in states, and cities in which is not clear to go. That's just what it is. The three or four teams that's going on tomorrow and in Houston later on, they're clear. They're going to be cleared to go in their state. So go.
But why wouldn't the Lakers be behind? If the Blazers,
they're not going to be behind, though. They're not going to be behind. Why would they be behind?
Because they've had less time to work together and get back together as a team than some other teams.
Okay, so 2 weeks. So 2 weeks, the season's not going to start, let's say, till, I don't know, middle of July. they're going to be behind in 2 weeks? So you practice 2 weeks more than me, and you're better? You're going to be that far ahead of me? No, not a chance.
Yeah, potentially, sure.
Not a chance.
Yes, you will.
Sure.
No, you won't. I'm the only one on this list playing professional sports.
Yeah, you know what? You ain't the only one on this list that's lived. And we all know the difference between doing something for 2 weeks and not doing something for 2 weeks.
They are doing basketball acclimated things as we speak. Then they're going to be doing individual things in the same facilities that they were doing outside the facilities as we speak. They're not coming together as a team. They're only going to be allowed to come in to shoot and do things that they're doing already.
If the season started in 1 month and you got a group of teams that have 2 weeks to get ready and another team has a whole month to get ready, I think that makes a difference.
Oh, does
give me the monthers.
Oh, so how many times have you seen teams take off and rest and get bounced?
More prep time is better than less. I just can't imagine there's a scenario where less is better than more.
We're not talking about months. You're talking about days, potentially a few weeks. You're not talking about somebody's going to be going from right now, and the Lakers not going to be able to get into the facility to the first week of July. Then they're going to start 2 weeks later.
All right.
It's different.
Let's move on to an NFL topic here. The New Orleans Saints are the favorites in Vegas to win the NFC right here. There is more pressure on Sean Payton this season to get to the Super Bowl than at any point in his career. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Yeah, take it. The pressure is on.
I think the pressure is. You got a quarterback that is, you know, eyeing a retirement. You have three straight years of being bounced at the end in the playoffs, and people is starting to look at you different now as a head coach. Still a good head coach, but people are starting to say, "Wait a minute, he can't win the big one," even though he won the big one.
Right.
He can't win the big one. That was luck. That was this. That was inspiration. That was that. He can't. Everything is messed up. Every time you look up, there's an excuse. People are going to start setting that narrative. You watch what I tell you, Travis, on this day. A couple months from now, you're going to start hearing it as they get closer to the training camp. One of the storylines of the season is going to be Sean Payton. Is Sean Payton the guy in New Orleans? Is he capable of doing this? Even though the man done won division titles and everything.
Well, it's like it could happen to anybody. Two is a coincidence, and three is a trend, and they're on three weird playoff losses.
He's getting ready to start to fall into that Mike McCarthy type, Green Bay type deal, where you had Drew Brees for all these years, you only got one out of him. He's getting ready to fall into that.
Let's go to an NBA topic. We talked about it, how 1995 today, May 7th, 1995, Reggie Miller, 8 points in 9 seconds. Reggie would not have gone off like that had Spike not antagonized him. Take it or shake it.
Take it!
Shake it!
shake it all around.
I don't know, for whatever reason, at that moment, it just fell his way. It just fell
Spike
his way.
Spike was the reason. Spike was the reason.
I don't know if that was that the reason?
It sure seemed like it.
I mean, it looked like it because you could pan the camera and the chokes. I mean, you could do all, but I don't think all of a sudden you just all of a sudden found your rhythm in 9 seconds.
Yeah, but Reggie's one of those dudes, Keith, that Reggie feeds off of conflict. Reggie feeds off of moments. That Reggie is one of those guys that the more that you say no, the more that you squeeze him, the better he gets. And yeah. Spike was squeezing him.
It's like Mike. Mike, in you talk to Mike, Mike will go off on you.
Not 9 seconds?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, let's take a listen to two of these. Let's listen to Allen Iverson first. This happened also in 2002, the practice rant.
We're in here talking about practice. We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Okay, so that's Allen Iverson. Now let's take a listen to Jim Mora.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Allen Iverson's rant is better than Jim Mora's. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
All right.
Because I've heard players, I've heard coaches say things like that before about playoffs and winning games and not being good enough to win another game the rest of the year. I've heard, you've heard that too. But you ain't never heard a player walk up to the podium and tell somebody practice. We sitting here, we talking about practice. I'm supposed to be the franchise player. We talking about practice.
You know why they're both great? Because they're both honest. It is so rare where you get a coach or even a player just going out there and being 100% real, 100% honest. Jim Mora thought his team would not win another game at that point, and Allen Iverson is looking at everyone else like they're idiots for criticizing him for practice.
But it was also the delivery, though. It wasn't just the words. It's like Allen Iverson in that pause. We talking practice.
In the talking about
Morris, like, and Morris, like, playoffs.
Yeah, no, it's the delivery. But the funny thing about it is when you catch athletes or anybody for that matter, coaches, athletes, in a situation immediately after something, and they teed off, and the steam is coming out of the ears, and they got thoughts in their mind and in their heads, you can get some good stuff.
Key, did you ever, when before you went on that podium, before you would sit down with somebody and talk on the record, did you kind of put the filter in place, like, okay, this is what I'm going to say, this is what I'm not going to say, or did you just go in there and be 100% open?
No, you always go in with a filter in mind, but the moment that you are asked a question, and Jorge will pull up the sound when I had a press conference after our loss to the New England Patriots, we lost Vinny Testaverde, you'll hear the frustration in my voice and how mad I got. Because now all of a sudden you got somebody like LZ sitting there trying to tell you something about something that you already know. They're trying to tell you now. I know what the hell happened. And prior to coming into that room, I got that out of my mind. But then they're going to get back and make me revisit it by asking me a question. And that's going to trigger that response.
All right, we're going to hear that.
LZ. I always got to say LZ because he's a journalist.
Germ spreader. We'll hear you react, and we're going to talk about what we mentioned a second ago. The NBA is having a conference call for all of its players. What does that mean exactly? That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.